life of Cain. We've been studying the first 11 chapters in Genesis. In this Bible study that we've done in Genesis chapter 4 on Cain, I will tell you, I have enjoyed it. I don't like the story itself. I mean, the guy got murdered. But I have enjoyed studying this passage of Scripture because it points out an awful lot of things in life and where people are. So tonight, I want to begin in Genesis chapter 4, and I'm going to read verses 9 and 10. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. And am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Now I'm just going to kind of pick right up where we left off last week. Last week we talked about Cain being a murderer and how that all happened. His next sin is lying. Cain was a murderer and he was a liar. Normally, one sin leads to something else, okay? I think, anyway, he actually started lying chronologically before the murder took place. If you look back in verse 7 for a minute, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be... That's not the verse I wanted. The verse is verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. So I think somehow Cain lured Abel out to the field where he was. So he talked to him. Somehow they were out in the field. Somehow he convinced him to come out there anyway. God asked Cain, where we began reading in verse 9, the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? Did God know where Abel was?
Yes.
He knew. God never asks a question because he needs information. That's not what happens, all right? God already knew that. God asked Adam, what'd you do? That woman. He asked Cain, where's Abel? I don't know. God knew exactly where he is. He didn't ask for information, but to give people, in this case, those two, the chance to confess what they had done wrong. Neither one of them did. In both cases, so far, where we have seen sin involved in these first few chapters in Genesis, the sinner, they were evasive and tried to cover up what they had done. But both times God brought their sin out, they had to admit it, which is kind of amazing, but it's still the same. From creation till now, it's all the same. People try to cover up their sin. Adam did. Cain did. People still do. And the Bible says this, be sure your sin will find you out. Sooner or later, somehow or another, our sin comes out. Now, Abel's blood cried out. I want you to turn with me to Numbers chapter 35. I'm going to read a few verses here, beginning in verse 30. Abel's blood cried out. Now, this is what I think. I think the shedding of innocent blood pollutes the land. Look here at Numbers 35 and verse 30. Whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses. But one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. Moreover, ye shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer, which is guilty of death, but he shall be surely put to death. And ye shall take no satisfaction for him that has fled to the city of his refuge, that he should come again to dwell in the land until the death of the priest. So ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye are, for blood it defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. Defile not therefore the land which ye shall inhabit wherein I dwell, for I the Lord dwell among the children of Israel. Again, we know that has to do with Israel. But I think the shedding of innocent blood pollutes the land. And I think the blood cries out for justice. And we mentioned this recently because it was sanctity of human life, and we also have the bottles up here to remind us. But I have to believe that the innocent blood of babies that has been spilled all over our land has polluted the land. Now, Cain's murder was a premeditated thing. He didn't kill a stranger in defense. That's not what happened. He murdered his brother out of envy and hatred. He was angry that God had accepted his brother's sacrifice and not his own. And he did it after being at the altar, so to speak, to worship God. Remember, he brought a sacrifice, didn't bring a blood sacrifice, but he brought the fruit. And in spite of God's warning and in spite of God's promise, once he had done that murder, he seemed to take it lightly. He lied. His lie actually involved three things. He lied to his brother, enticing him to the field. He lied to himself, thinking that he could get away with it. And he lied to God. Look at verse 9. The Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Now, did Cain know where his brother was? Of course he did. He flat out lied to God. And then he asked the question, am I my brother's keeper? Well, the assumed answer to that question is, yes, you are your brother's keeper. But anyway, he lied to God, tried to cover up his wicked deeds. That never works. He was a murderer, he lied, and then if we can pick up our reading in verse 11 back in Genesis chapter 4, he was a wanderer. This is one of the saddest chapters in the Bible. And now art thou cursed from the earth, God is speaking, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee at her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born, and it gives several names of the children of Enoch that were born there. Some of these are kind of popular names, and some unfortunately were just evil. And then, of course, Seth is mentioned down in verse 26, and we may get to him. But it said he was a vagabond. A vagabond has no home. A fugitive is running from home. A stranger is away from home, but a pilgrim is headed home. In Deuteronomy 30:19, the Bible says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Cain made the wrong choice. He didn't choose life. And instead of being a pilgrim in life, he became a stranger and a vagabond and a fugitive. He was a wanderer. Now, I want you to notice in verse 12, God's curse. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. The Lord had cursed the serpent in chapter 3 and verse 14. He'd cursed the ground in verse 17. He did not curse Adam and Eve. Now, there was punishment involved, but he didn't curse them. But he did his son, who evidently was a child of the devil. Now, he defiled the ground with his brother's blood, and now the ground wasn't going to work for him. If Adam toiled day after day with the sweat of the brow, at least at the end of the day, verse 17 of chapter 3 says, at least he got a harvest. But for Cain, he didn't get any fruit from his labors. So he couldn't continue as a farmer. That's what he was before. That wasn't going to work out for him. All he could do was wander from place to place and like eat out a living. He was cursed. And look at verses 13 and 14. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. He had regrets. His sin brought regret. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from the face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. You know, this is good advice for all of us. We ought not to do things that later on in life or someplace we might regret. You ought to always think before you act. So I was sitting in my office, I don't know, when it was Monday, I was out somewhere yesterday. Anyway, Chris sent me a text about a pastor in Florida who was caught with another. You saw it? This guy caught with a woman, and I don't know where he was when he got caught. She didn't tell me, or any, I don't have all the details. But he had to leave, and he left naked. Well, now that's a good idea. There's a real good plan right there. Let's run down the road nude, you know. So, I mean, he should have thought before he acted, but he didn't. And unfortunately, with Cain, he had regrets. Now, there's things in life that some people do. And I think we probably all have some things where we said, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. But Cain had real regret. He never repented of his sins. His words reveal only remorse and regret. He says, my punishment is worse than I can bear. He didn't say, my guilt is more than I can bear. He said, my punishment is more than I can bear. If he would have accepted the blame, God would have removed that guilt. But he never did. He was concerned with his punishment. He never seemed to be concerned with his character. It didn't seem to bother him what he had done. If he wandered around, he'd be in danger. If he stayed put, the ground's not going to yield any food, so he's going to starve. Warren Wiersbe said, the earth had turned against him, God had turned against him, and the people would turn against him. That's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. Everybody he met would have been a relative and would have known about Abel's murder, and maybe they'd want to take revenge. So he's probably thinking, what in the world can I do? By hating and murdering his brother and by refusing to repent, Cain created for himself a very intolerable life, all because of his stupidity. He opened the door to temptation back in chapter 4 and verse 7. And closed the door on his family, and closed the door on God, and closed the door on his future. What a sad story. And no matter where he lived or what he did, Cain would always be a man for whom there was no remedy. This story right here, this is a tragedy. I mean, this is a tragedy. Verse 15. The Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. I will say this, despite all of that, God did still extend to him some mercy. God did something very unusual for Cain. He put a mark on him that would protect him from the assaults of those who wanted to kill him. What was the mark? I'm not sure what the mark was. But whatever it was, people could recognize it as God's protective seal, and it worked. That was an act of mercy on God's part. Now, I'm going to share something with you that I don't know. I'm not going to tell you that I believe this. But if you'd like to research things, this is something you can research. This guy was trying to tell me what Cain's mark was. I said, well, I'll be honest, I've never thought about it. God put some kind of a mark on him. So when I was in Bible college, so this is a Bible college student, okay? Let me preface to say where the information comes from. And he was a black boy from Cleveland, Ohio. And I picked him up, and he rode back and forth to work with me every day. His name was Floyd. I said, okay, Floyd, what do you think the mark was? I think God made him black. I said, you think the mark was his skin was black? Yep. I've not researched it out. I don't know what he's talking about, but he said, oh, yeah. He says, I've put a lot of work and research and energy into this. He goes, and I think that the mark God put upon Cain that everybody could recognize was black. Now, I've never, ever heard of anybody say anything like that before. I've never read anything like that before. It's never crossed my mind. But if you're somebody who likes to do research, there's something for you. And I don't know where the kid, if he still lives in Cleveland, Ohio or not, anymore, but he believed that, and he was a black person. I don't know where he got it from. I'm just passing on what somebody told me. So if you're interested, you can try to figure out what that mark is. I'll listen to your theory, whether or not I believe it or not. I can't say that I believe Floyd's, but whatever your theory is, I'll be glad to listen to it. Anyway, no matter where he lived or what he did, Cain would always be a man for whom there was no remedy. That's a sad, sad story. Anyway, in God's act of mercy, verse 15, why did God allow a murderer like Cain to go free? In his mercy. You see, God doesn't give us what we deserve. And in his grace, he gives us what we do not deserve. That's God's nature. But that's not the end of the story. He eventually died, then he faced judgment. And the entire civilization that he had built was destroyed, because this is pre-Genesis chapter 6, during the flood. The record of his life in Holy Scriptures, it seems to be that he's a warning to anybody who pretends to worship like Cain did, plays with sin like Cain did, and doesn't take temptation seriously like Cain didn't. He was a murderer. He was a wanderer. Verse 16 through 24, we read just a little. He's a builder. God protected Cain as he wandered. Eventually, he found a place that he thought was right, and he settled down, and he built a city. But the land didn't help him. But he could labor. He could build on top of that land and begin to do some things. He stopped eventually being a fugitive. The name of the land that he settled, called Enoch, means wandering. His citizenship wasn't in heaven, nor did he have any hope to reach the heavenly city. Eventually married, and must have had to tell his wife, whatever that mark was. They had children. There are six generations of Cain's children mentioned here that are named. Now, there's one in verses 18 and 19. I want to point out if I come across his name here. Enoch was born. Irad and Irad begat all these people with all these great names. And the last one at the end of verse 18 was Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other was Zillah. Now, he was the first bigamist. He had two wives. If you study him, he was a very boastful man, and he himself was a killer. He was wounded and killed the person who wounded him. And if you keep reading there, let me read a little bit more, verse 24. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech, 70 and sevenfold. Now, if Lamech said that, Cain's day must have passed on. The people in Enoch, they had various jobs. You can read them, verse 20, 21, and 22. They seemed to be industrious. They built farm equipment, tools, stuff like that. They had a lot in the city of Enoch as far as industry is concerned. But you know what they didn't have? They didn't have God. By the way, I assume you know this without me saying it, but I'll mention it. This is not the same Enoch as the one that is mentioned in chapter 5 and verse 24, where it says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. That's not the same Enoch, okay? That one there is the son of Seth. They have different dads. They have different family genealogies. But to jump ahead a little bit, the line of Seth, the godly line, and the love of Cain come together and they merged. The wall of separation came down, and this eventually created the wicked society whose sins brought on the judgment of God in the flood. Cain's family tree ended with the family of Lamech in chapter 4, verses 14 through 24. An arrogant murderer whose three sons manufactured things for the world. Seth lines end. You know who Seth's family line ends with? Noah. Noah had three sons. His three sons gave the world a new beginning after the flood. What kind of a legacy do I want to live behind? What kind of legacy do you want to leave behind? I mean, you take these two guys, Cain, he had never witnessed all this evil before. He never saw anybody murder anybody. He was the first one to murder. And the legacy that he left behind is horrific. And then there's Seth, who will come along shortly. And he'll leave a legacy. And his legacy is Noah and Noah's three sons. I mean, it's night and day. It's night and day. And I trust that you will do what you can do to leave behind a godly legacy and not a legacy like Cain. And if anybody decides for whatever reason to figure out what the mark of Cain is, good luck with that, by the way, but I'll listen to your theory. All right, let's pray. Our Father, this is one of the saddest chapters in the Bible. From the very beginning of the human race, a brother murders his brother. Then he lies about it, and he lies to you about it. And then he has this family line of generations. He's cursed. But when we get to one of his generations, it's just bad. And then we will have in the next chapter Seth. And the legacy that he left behind is completely different. So we have a choice to make. Cain made the wrong choice. We don't have to make the wrong choice. And I pray, God, that you would help us in our endeavor to raise and to leave behind a godly legacy and a godly family tree. And I pray that you would bless every family in this auditorium tonight, those also that perhaps will read through and they'll see these principles in Cain's life, and they'll do whatever they can do humanly possible, filled with the Spirit of God, to make sure that's not them. God, help us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, let me dig out some missionaries.